You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I'm your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the last unicorn, Tyler.
What?
I didn't get two titles for today, because we're doing them back-to-back, so I only had the one.
You're the Iron Giant, Gordy.
I'm the Iron... Isn't that copyrighted?
Nope.
The Iron Giant's not copyrighted?
Not if you spell Giant Gordy.
You're the Giant Iron.
I'm it's spelled giant. Gordy, but it's pronounced Giant.
I would like to go by that, please. Start that.
Giant Murphy.
That's a good nickname you just did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're back with, am I allowed to say the title now, Tyler? It's not really a mystery, right?
It is The Land Before Time.
Yep, that one. That good old French fairy tale suggested by Lucy 2 weeks ago.
The Rockadoodle.
Rockadoodle. Rockadoodle. I remember Rockadoodle being good. Is
Do
it good?
You?
I mean, I have not seen it since I was like four or
That's
five.
A curious stance to take.
I haven't seen it since I was four or five. Is it good?
Mm-mm.
No? I think four-year-old me had some good taste, though.
That stands the test of time.
Some solid media hits.
I liked Fantasia. Still good.
We are back with part three of Cats Don't Dance. Hit it, Carmen.
All right.
The Aristocats. Aladdin?
Jumanji.
Is Jumanji's a Disney one? Oh, yeah. We got, like, all kinds of live-action Disney stuff, too. Frozen.
Everyone's favorite live-action Disney film, Frozen.
Frozen. It might... I mean, the animation's so good, it might as well be live.
It gotcha.
Might as well be live.
It was really just a documentary, and they followed...
Gordy made it all the way through that movie, and he saw the list of animators, and he's like, what'd they
Whoa.
Do?
Whoa. Something in the background, I guess. Seems like a waste of money.
Okay, so listen to the last two episodes to catch up with where we are in this story. No summaries, just going.
Just going.
Forward ho! Alright, so Beauty wakes up from her dream, and lo, the Beast is in fact the Hottie, but he's even hotter than Dream Hottie was. Just to make sure, she checks his face against the bracelet she stole from the chandelier. And, yep, they match. Same guy.
And she hold it up
yes.
to his face?
Yes.
Wow.
Like a TSA agent?
Again, she has not proven to be terribly bright throughout any of this.
Everything... Yeah, but that's pants on head stupid.
How many times did Don't Judge by Appearances Marry the Beast have to be said explicitly to her by several fairy tale characters before she followed through? So she figures, I guess he's under an enchantment.
and bells throughout the world began to ring.
Just kind of the eternal train whistle went off. I mean, it's a big leap for her, though.
So many angels got their wings that day.
It's a big leap for Beauty, not Brains, which is her middle and last That's name. Just Mrs. Brains, comma, Beauty not. It's misleading if she just goes by her last name.
It's especially misleading if she goes by her middle initial, because then she's Beauty in Brains.
Yeah, that... It's
that's her rap name.
That's a misnomer.
That's her street name. Yeah, that middle name is very, very key. It is legal because it is true, but it's very misleading. They did get around that one.
Is it like a ocean knot?
What?
Is that how it's spelled?
Ocean Knot?
Yeah. Like a nautical knot?
That's a millennial ass name. Knot. Man. Yeah, I guess. I mean, she just, nobody knows how to write yet. Or read
Especially
stuff.
Not English in France.
Yeah, not English. What's their word for knot? Took three French classes. Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, no matter how many times Dr. Gregoire ambushed us in the hallway. So being alone, Beauty was in no fear of scandalizing anyone with the liberty she took with his person.
Ooh.
And after all, wasn't he to be her husband?
She got down on all them tentacles.
He's a hot man now.
Is he?
Yeah, it was like the whole thing.
Wait, he actually transformed? She didn't just like think
Dream
he
it.
Was? Okay.
Yeah, it's like... He's even hotter than Dream Guy.
And yet, the story persists.
And yet, he kept the tentacles.
I mean, she found she really liked it.
Yeah.
That was a thing she didn't
she
know.
She said, hey, whatever fairy did this, let me keep the tentacles.
Yeah, mid-transformation, they started to sparkle away, and she just grabbed them and said, no, keep them.
No. I need them.
We need these.
I need them so you can explore everywhere at once.
So she kisses him 3 times, one for each tentacle, and then waits for him to wake up, but he doesn't.
That didn't feel good to say. I just want to go on record.
That you have some, like, moral stain from that sentence.
I did it, but I didn't like it.
But it felt good to think.
This is a heavy burden to bear, this podcast.
So rather than being worried about her now comatose hot guy, she gets bored waiting for him to wake up and starts singing, and birds join her, and their chorus is interrupted.
She's going full princess.
Yeah. Their chorus is interrupted by the sound of a carriage coming up to the castle.
Is it full of raccoons and moles who also want to sing?
The ape, who is the captain of the guard, has his parrot interpreter announce the arrival of some young ladies.
Is it the sisters? Is it the bad sisters who are back?
She goes to meet them. One of them is the lady from her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is older, but still super pretty.
Unknown otherwise?
Yeah, otherwise. We don't know. So the dream lady asks the older lady, well, queen, what do you think of this girl who fixed your son? Will you give your consent for their wedding? The queen is very happy to give consent and asks Beauty to tell her, like, a little bit about herself, so that she can get to know her future daughter-in-law.
Bachelorette number one!
But when she finds out that Beauty is a merchant's daughter, she is mortified. And also, in this, like, in her verbal exclamation of her mortification, reveals that Dream Lady is a fairy.
How does that slip out?
Of course she's a fairy.
Could find it tomorrow.
Like, I'm upset about this information. Also, I'm a fairy.
She calls out the Dream Lady as a fairy.
Oh. You've tricked me, fairy. Mm. You've brought me beggar dirt, fairy.
The quote is, what? You are only a merchant's daughter? Oh, great fairy, she added as she cast a mortified look in the direction of her companion. This was all she said, but her looks expressed
ah, great fairy.
And her disappointment was legible in her eyes.
Curse words of 2018.
Oh, great
fairy. Ah, great fairy.
So the fairy is disappointed in the queen for her disappointment and the fairy's choice for saving her son. And the queen says, no, I'm grateful for that bit. That's good. But, like, think about it. It'd be real unnatural for my son's very noble blood to mix with this merchant daughter.
Little
my
shitty.
Son's noble, previously bestial blood.
My son's noble tentacle ink. To be mixed with this commoner's ink or blood, whatever she has in her.
We haven't checked.
I don't study commoners that closely.
I think they're full of grape juice.
I'm not aware of the commoner physiology. Whatever they have, I don't want it near my son.
And as grateful as I am, I'm not flattered that the price of my prince's happiness is an alliance so degrading. And isn't there some maiden out there who has all the good qualities that this one does, plus a noble birth?
Plus good ink in her veins.
She wants to upgrade to the premium package.
So their conversation wakes up Hottie Hotcakes Prince, and he comes out. His mom hugs him emotionally, and he thanks the fairy for her part in freeing him.
Do you say she hugs emotionally?
Yeah, like it's an emotional reunion.
Oh, not like she... Not like she didn't physically hug her. She just kind of gave her the emotional equivalent of a hug without touching.
Which is, for a queen, is just like a cold nod.
Very slight dip of the head.
He's about to dote on Beauty when the fairy stops him because she wants him to be a judge between her and her mother and his mother. Which is always a good position to put this newly humaned monster in.
Mm-hmm.
She tells him that his mom condemns his engagement. But she, the fairy, thinks that Beauty's virtues are more important than her birth. Now you decide.
Who wins?
Which puppy parent do you run to?
One shall stand, one shall fall.
And then she turns to Beauty, like, as an afterthought, and is like, you're cool with, like, this decision-making process, right? You wouldn't want a husband who doesn't want to marry you, yeah?
In theory.
Beauty just kind of shrugs and says, yeah, I'm not going to hold him to the engagement because I originally made it out of pity to something inferior to a man.
Whoa!
Back up.
She is a rapper.
She said what?
She's okay with this decision-making process. She's not going to hold him to the engagement. Like, that. No promises need to be kept here because the engagement was originally made out of pity to something inferior to a man.
Ugh.
Which I think would be grounds to be like, all right.
Okay, end of discussion.
Those virtues aren't too shiny, are they?
Yeah.
Moving on.
Is pity a virtue? I wonder.
Nah.
Well, the queen and the fairy think that it is. They both agree that it is.
They swoon.
It is very noble of Beauty to give up the engagement to something inferior to a man. And she wants to reward her with something, but just not her son. And she offers her anything in the world except for him. Beauty replies that she doesn't need a reward. She's just happy to have freed him.
Two monkeys and a parrot.
So the prince has just been standing silent, I guess watching this exchange the whole time.
Being cut with verbal knives.
He's used to it, at least.
I like the idea of him just standing there very stiff watching it, because his next action is to throw himself at the feet of the fairy and the queen and beg that they don't make him more unhappy by sending Beauty away. So we just go from stoic to...
to typical.
Yeah. Beauty looks at him and tells him, yeah, I love you, but I sacrifice the love of you, the dream hottie, for the good of the beast. So I'm not going to falter in sacrificing the love of you, the real hottie, for your own sake. So I'm going to go back to my family, and I'll just cherish the memory of your love.
Well, that's pitiful, but nice.
She writes, have a great summer, in his yearbook.
But she doesn't even write it out. It's just Hags.
Yeah.
She doesn't sign it.
Hags B&B.
He begs the fairy either not to let her go or to turn him into a monster again if being a monster is what it takes to be her husband. The fairy stares wordlessly at the queen.
Like, mm-hmm. This situation's out of my control now.
And the queen's pride is unshaken, though she did dread the anger of the fairy. After a long silence, the fairy says to the lovers, I find you worthy of each other.
Who asked her?
And I will not dream of separating you.
Who is the third woman?
The queen. The prince's dad, beast dad, or mom, beast mom.
Yeah,
mom, that's the one.
Fairy.
Beauty.
I thought a third woman came in the chariot.
No, it's just the two.
Yeah. Or the carriage, rather.
Yeah, just the two.
I was like, she's being awful silent, so this strange woman in the corner.
The queen starts to say something, but the fairy interrupts her, reproaching her for her value in empty titles over virtue. But she'll forgive her, and her only punishment is this little violence to her prejudices when these two make it out in front of her, legally. Beauty now falls to her knees and begs the fairy not to expose her to the humiliation of the constant reminder that she's not worthy of the rank she'll be elevated to. Because eventually the prince might come to think as his mother does.
Some monkey is grumbling in the corner because they're scuffing up his polished work on this the tile.
Could you stop flinging your bodies on that? I just waxed.
Stop
it.
Scratching the linoleum.
The fairy says, "Nah, look, I can protect you because guess what? You're the queen's niece.
Gross.
And you're also my niece.
What?
Because my sister is your mom.
Who's a merchant woman.
And she didn't have the same prejudices as this lady here, so she married the queen's brother, who is the King of Happy Islands.
Is this a new guy?
Yeah.
King of Happy Islands.
Mm-hmm. This part got real boring.
What would make it more thrilling for you, Gordy?
I don't know. Just fewer dumb people.
Well, we're about to get into a diatribe on fairy law.
Streamline.
It sounds like we're going to Kokomo.
Taking a vacation.
We preserve the fruit of their union, which would be Beauty, from another fairy who wanted to be her stepmother. And from the moment of her birth, I destined her to be the queen's son's wife. And I kind of hoped that the queen would have more confidence in me, since I have been in charge of protecting her son's destiny all these years.
You're going to have to draw this family tree when we're done, because I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I need a diagram.
Okay, so
fairy... No, I don't want to hear it again. I just don't know.
We choose ignorance.
I got the gist.
Everyone's related.
I'll get the rest to context clues.
The queen is astonished, acknowledges her mistake, and regrets making it, reassures Beauty that her great hesitation was in fact the desire to marry her son to this very niece, so since the niece is Beauty, it's all good now. Seems like a good cop-out from being an asshole.
Some quick mental mathematics to sort that all out.
Harry says, okay, now to make this wedding and the ending of the story happen, we just need your dad's consent.
King of Happy Islands.
Uh-huh.
Kokomo.
And then Beauty reminds her to maybe tell the merchant too, since she thought he was her dad for like her whole life.
Where does he come into the picture?
And this turns out to be more proof that Beauty is the greatest and best human ever. So the fairy agrees that she'll do that. Like, it's real nice of you to think.
To think of your fake dad.
just toss this guy who's been like a really cool father for you aside just because you found out you're the princess of Happy Islands.
Which islands are these?
Kokomo.
Happy ones.
Yeah. You think so?
So the fairy.
Name a happier island, Gordy.
A happier island?
Yeah.
What are some islands? New Zealand.
Is it happier than Kokomo?
I don't know. How you spell
is
Kokomo?
Is there a song about New Zealand?
How you spell Kokomo?
Kokomo.
Kokomo. Is this a real island?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. That's not any country I've heard of. I must still look for pictures. No, it's just kind of packaging that I'm finding. Yeah, I think there are a lot of happier islands.
Like Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you.
The Seychelles, maybe.
Bermuda, Bahamas. Ooh, I really want to.
Costa Rica.
That was All You Pretty
That's
Mamas.
That's not an island.
What?
That was All You Pretty Mamas.
All You Pretty Mamas?
I don't know.
Florida.
I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Is Florida an island?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Working on it.
I was going to say not yet, but you did it.
We got the people down there with the sauce.
They're cutting it off, trying to get away.
Before the disease spreads.
Take us to Happy Island, Carmen.
Is it still an island if it's connected by a bridge?
Is it a land bridge?
No.
Then yes.
It's okay, what if it is a land bridge?
I don't think so. Then it's a peninsula.
How much water does there have to be before it's an island?
20.
20?
20 water.
20 water between mainland and the child land.
Anyway, this has all been real good geography.
Scintillating geography lessons.
The fairy takes the queen off and forbids the lovers to follow so that they can have some private conversation and maybe get to know each other, actually.
What was that word that started with an L?
Lovers.
Lovers. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I heard levers. And then thought, like, maybe she said lepers and I just missed it?
New characters.
Yeah. I mean... These change fast. You gotta be ready.
Their conversation starts like a middle school romance where they just talk about how in love they are with each other. And then Beauty finally has the presence of mind to ask the prince, like, hey, how'd the beast thing happen? Also, what's, like, your story?
And name.
Nah, we don't care about that.
Oh, no name?
No name.
Don't care?
He's gonna be beast forever. He tells his whole life story to her. His dad died before he was born. And his mom would have been inconsolable except for the fact that she was pregnant and that occupied a lot of her thoughts instead of mourning her dead husband. When he was born, he was her whole life and she was occupied entirely by his care and education and also by the paranoia of losing him. A fairy friend showed up to help and she was happy until the fairy friend also wanted to take his care entirely in her own hands.
Mm-hmm.
The fairy friend didn't have the best reputation.
In the fairy biz?
Yeah. She was a little capricious in her favors, and people feared her more than they loved her. The queen couldn't entirely refuse, because if she handed him over of her own free will, there was no need to fear that the fairy would do him harm, because past experience showed she only took pleasure in harming those who had offended her in some way.
One of those.
Yeah. But her big hesitation was losing sight of her only son and also the only grip to sanity through the loss of her husband. While she was weighing her options, a powerful neighbor figured out that it's pretty easy to steal a kingdom from an infant king and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts a war.
Yeah.
The queen summoned her forces and put herself at the head of the troops and marched to defend her nation, leaving the prince in the care of the fairy.
Oh, I hoped that the baby was at the head of the troops.
Like a little baby
so
helmet.
So close.
No,
maybe
like
a baby Bjorn.
A knight holding an infant in the baby Bjorn with a little knight helmet on and a tiny wooden sword.
And a binky.
And a binky.
It's a good movie. Maybe he has to be... I think it is... battle law that he has to be on hand
as ruler,
because like the authority comes from him,
right?
So whoever's giving the orders has to be able to show the baby as proof. Like, hey, we march today. Well, says who? What? Says this baby right here.
So the baby's like the conch shell.
The baby's just
generals,
proof of purchase or whatever.
What is our battle formation? I don't know. He's drawn in the sand right now. We'll just do that.
We'll derive it from his various spillings.
It's like divination.
Okay, the Cheerios are knights.
Cheerios are knights. That plastic guy over there, that's a catapult.
The fairy did swear to bring him back to her after the war had ended, and she figured that would take her about a year. It did, however, take longer because in spite of her many victories, she was forced to pursue the other king back to his own lands in order to profit from her conquests. She took entire provinces and finally reduced the monarch to sue for peace in extremely unfavorable terms. Then she rode home triumphant, looking forward to seeing her son. But her asshole enemy reneged on the peace treaty, so she was obliged to go back and beat his ass so hard he couldn't even think about shitting all over their terms again. It took her 15 years to administer this beating, so meanwhile... Meanwhile, the fairy was raising the prince as her own son, taking care of his education, mm-hmm. and he felt for her the same respect and love as he felt for his own mother. One day, she sets out on a mysterious journey, purpose unknown to him to this day, and it takes several years. She comes back, and she starts to feel a love for him different from the love of a mother.
Bad touch.
Like the love of an aunt?
She had previously
or a grandmother.
Wanted him to call her mom, but now she forbade it. This was confusing to the prince, but he hadn't yet figured out what was going on. Because
puberty.
Young and naive.
Puberty.
And he was double confused by her new accusations of ingratitude that she was constantly flinging at him.
Mm-hmm. This is how you create serial killers.
Or beasts, evidently.
Or beasts. Maybe a serial killer. I don't know.
Then she finally came out with it and asked to marry him. And he was real embarrassed by that because, one, old.
Two, mom.
Yeah, two, mom, yeah. Two.
I would say one, mom, old, two, surely.
And also, he was just focused on joining his like real mom in the war effort.
Yeah.
So he was not interested in marrying anyone, much less old second mom. So the fairy gets into her head that she just needs the queen's consent to make all her dreams come true, so she goes with him to see the queen. When they get there, he gets to do a bit of war with the help of the fairy, and he saves the queen's life a couple times, and everything's cool, but
he does cool war stunts.
Why did they skip over that? That sounds more exciting.
Cool war stunts?
But he does get a minor wound, and she gets all worked up that he might get more hurt in his lifetime, so she makes a peace treaty real quick. To just prevent any more harm to come from coming from him, to him. So they go back to the palace, where most of the story takes place, like the fancy one with the monkeys and the mirrors.
Does it currently have those?
I don't know.
We don't know when those come into play.
And at this point, the fairy springs the marriage proposal on his mom, who is entirely unprepared for it, and unwisely reacts that, well, that's absurd. not only because the fairy is decrepit and old, but horribly ugly. And they have, like, a pride-off for several paragraphs where the two of them are just prideful at each other aggressively. And it comes out that the queen thinks the fairy is ugly, so she hits the prince on the head real hard and turns him into a monster.
Just drama.
A little bunny foo-foo.
She also steals his wit so that he can have more trouble wooing a lady than he would normally have with tentacles. And then
he doesn't get the charm cheat code.
Yeah. And she, for good measure, lays a curse on him that if the queen or anyone tells anybody who he really is, he'll never regain his true form. That way he can't receive any external aid, he can't use his own charms, and also tentacles.
I appreciate that they put some thought into how the curse works. Like, it has reasonable mechanics.
Yeah, so most of our stories have, like, loopholes, and that's their problem. This one makes sure there's not a friggin' loophole
like it's
the place.
Airtight pretty, curse.
Pretty airtight as they go, so kudos to the fairy.
Save for the whole dream visuals, like, explicitly describing the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's airtight, because Beauty's just dumb. the queen begs that she be the target of the vengeance instead of her son, and the fairy says... I'm too ugly for you to talk to me, so I don't know I can't hear you. You can't possibly be talking to me. So it gets real middle school. So separately, the prince and the queen decide to kill themselves without telling each other. The queen has decided she's going to stab herself and the prince is going to throw himself into the canal. So they go off to do this when suddenly the pretty lady shows up, who is the good fairy that we've been familiar with for the whole story.
Are we still in flashback?
Yes.
Okay.
She stops them from killing themselves. She's not allowed to directly interfere because it's not permitted for fairies to put themselves directly in opposition to each other. And the bad fairy had lived longer than she had, and among fairies, age has a claim to respect. We have a hierarchy. This is when we get deep into fairy law. The fairy sits and reads a book intently for a while in front of the queen and prince, who she stopped from killing themselves, meditates for a moment, and then she says, "I can help, but it's going to be slow."
Great.
And you cannot, under any circumstances, reveal that he is the prince, because she's banking on that to curse him forever. So the queen is worried about some of the servants who knew the secret already, so the fairy walked in a circle in a couple different ways and uttered a strange language. Then she raised her hand authoritatively, and everyone in the castle became a statue. So that explains our long
statues. The weird statues. But the monkeys?
The queen felt compassion and regret for all the people that, like, work for her, whose lives are now stopped for the sake of this one prince. And the fairy was like, "No, don't worry about it. It's reversible."
It's not permanent.
After a while, the fairy is able to convince his mom to leave him alone in the palace, made the palace fancy and nice, and then one day told him about the merchant in the woods and instructs him to threaten death to the merchant when he takes a rose and then ask for one of his daughters in exchange for his life. So he didn't want to do that. That was just under orders. He has 5 other daughters, but they all suck, so it's definitely going to be the one that I think it will be. So you can go ahead and write her name on everything, which he does.
Including the clock.
He found it hard to stick to all the rules and regulations in place when Beauty came to the palace, and there was a lot of whining about his feelings during the entire first part of the story. So it, like, recaps the first part of the story from his perspective, like that one, like, Shades of Grey book.
Great.
Yeah.
Shades of Grey?
Yeah, like, the 50 Shades of Grey was rewritten from the guy's perspective. Yeah, so that's what this story does. You're welcome. I read through a lot more than I'm reading to you now. He also felt like it was really inappropriate to continuously ask to sleep with her, but the fairy told him to keep doing it, to be patient and persevere.
Do it.
Also, side note, she let him be invisible so that he could, like, wander around Beauty a lot without her knowledge. And then also was the one who gave him the ability to converse with her in her dreams.
Getting kind of weird.
Yep. Whenever he was on the verge of telling Beauty who he really was, the fairy showed up invisible to her, but visible to him, and intimidated him into silence by threatening to murder Beauty if he said anything.
That would have made the Disney movie a lot better.
Yeah.
If every once in a while we just saw, like, through his eyes, just a fairy with a knife holding it up to her throat.
Yeah, well, real.
Unspeaking. Don't do it.
Just a shh.
I'd like to watch a horror version of Beauty and the Beast.
It'd be pretty easy to pull off.
That's the story we're reading?
No, I just think that'd be cool.
You just want to watch that?
Yeah. Random thought.
The fairy was also the one who prevented his suicide when she was visiting home, but he got around her by refusing to eat, which is why he was so weak. And then he just tells the story of everything that happened after she returned.
There's
again.
Many ways to skin a beast.
So now that he has concluded his story and got us caught up to where we are now, some noises happen outside to arrive. They announce the arrival of a king.
Is it monkeys?
It's Beauty's father.
Is a king?
Yes.
King.
Oh,
Kokomo
King. King Dad.
King Kokomo.
She greets him as father. He believes she's an orphan princess and treating him for help and using the father term to just make herself more endearing to him, and he's prepared to make a very gracious response. But then he's distracted by the existence of his sister in the room.
Now, is Kokomo the constructive cost model, abbreviated as Kokomo?
No, it's a Beach Boys song.
It's a procedural software cost estimation model developed by Barry W. Boehm.
It's a song by the Beach Boys? Like about, Brian Wilson?
Is it Kokomo Resort homepage?
is it Kokomo.kokomo? At Kokomo?
Is it Kokomo? Ooh, Kokomo 2.
Revenge of Electric. The Kokomo.
Beecher Boys.
Beachier. Bigger, beachier boys. you know, you say this. Uh-huh. I'm seeing a lot about this software. Kokomo, the finest creation of USC.
The Muppets sang it one time.
Did they?
They did.
In which movie? The one with the islands?
I think just a music video.
Oh, was just one kidding. Of them Gonzo?
Probably.
If Gonzo was not involved, it doesn't count.
Because he has a tentacle on his face?
He's the best Muppet.
Okay. If you replace the K's in Kokomo with C's,
yeah,
you get a lot more boring stuff.
Oh.
Which is the software.
Anyway, the fairy makes the king play a guessing game about who Beauty is, and he says if he was to judge by her face, he really would be her father because she looks just like his late wife.
It's off the Florida Keys.
But he was pretty sure his daughter had been eaten by wild beasts.
Beasts!
The fairy says, bingo, she's defo your daughter. And he and everyone else are conveyed to his quarters by the monkeys while the king and queen restore statues to life.
Like, they just crowd surf on monkeys?
I think the monkeys are just like, you guys need to sit down or something. Let's go to the king's new rooms.
I like crowd surfing better.
And then the fairy's like, hey, queen, help me undo this damage here.
Unstatue these folks.
Crowd surfing feels right.
Meanwhile, the king is questioning his daughter about 100 times about how she escaped the wild beast that carried her off, but she was an infant, so she has no idea, no matter how many times he asks. Then the fairy...
I like that he won't let up, though.
The fairy shows up to take credit. So the fairy explains that the prince and Beauty don't understand the laws of Happy Island.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly no.
The laws there say that all inhabitants, including the king, are allowed full freedom in the selection of their wives. So there's no obstacle in choosing who will make them happy, which is how this king here in this room married a shepherdess who was the perfect wife, and then she died. Remember that? Remember how sad you were? Well, turns out she was a fairy in disguise because she wanted a vacation and also to see if there were any virtuous humans. So she was a pretend shepherdess, and another fairy person was her pretend mom. And
what? Did she die to get out of the marriage?
And their sheep were, in fact... Genie in disguise.
Genie sheep.
Genie sheep.
So I'll leave you guys on Genie sheep.
It's a closer.
And next episode will be Fairy Law and Order. Boom, boom.
We gotta talk about it now.
Yeah. All right, so now we have veered far away from Disney territory. And back into the batshittery we're used to.
Do you think Disney made the right edits?
Yeah.
You do? You're not willing to entertain any of this other stuff?
I will say that the previous episode that we recorded just before this one, a lot of change of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Like different places in this castle, different house for a little bit, then back to the castle. This one takes place in like the threshold of the castle, like the very first room.
Yeah. It's a lot of arguing.
And it's just people talking to each other.
But then,
and
wait,
people, other people showing up
is
in carriages.
That part at the end about the Happy Island.
Yeah.
Is that still some kind of flashback or explanation?
We're about the flashback card.
Okay, so they're still all standing around in the foyer.
Yeah.
Talking about this.
Yeah, the screen's going to kind of go wavy, and then we'll have... imagery of what happened in the past.
Are we doing flashback inside a flashback?
I think this is just a one-level flashback.
Because we're out of the other one now.
Right. We have escaped the prince's entire backstory.
Yeah, we've learned why the beast is the beast, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
He was punched in the face by a fairy. Who was mad at his mom for not letting her marry him.
Basically.
Slash be his mom.
Yeah.
Be so his mom lover.
He could be her sonsman.
Sonsman.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what's worth asking about this?
I mean, we got an important component to how fairies operate, which is like age-based and clear rules about not directly engaging each other.
This is a very bad way to tell a story.
Yes.
Because we have put 8 bricks on the brake pedal of the car. Yeah. We have ground to a halt in terms of momentum for the events.
Yeah, most stories, like, Prince sees person in field, grabs her, puts her on back of horse, married shortly after.
And nobody cares what happens to them after that.
There's no...
That's
no
their business.
Parental consent. Consent has been a theme of the story, and yeah. Consent is very good.
Yeah, sure.
In this particular case, consent is very boring, because before anyone's consent is given, an entire backstory must be revealed, which includes a retelling of parts of the story we just read.
Maybe that...
And introductions of characters who need to consent.
Right, who, like, previously we didn't know existed.
Right.
Like, does the king of Happy Island, does he really deserve to give the consent over the merchant who actually raised her?
Maybe that should be...
He thinks she was eaten by wolves.
That should be the real life custom. To give consent, you also have to give your full backstory. So there is no confusion about what yes or no means.
So somebody asks you for your child's hand.
Uh-huh.
You must then tell them your entire life.
And if they can
and if they sit there,
that,
yeah, exactly.
It's a good trial, I think.
I mean, also if you just, like, proposition somebody, like you just hit somebody up.
Like, hey, can I have your number?
Yeah, like,
how long do you have?
Hey, can I have your number? Also, do you have 30 minutes for me to tell you my whole backstory?
I mean...
That is consent.
Back in the OK Cupid days, we had that one fellow who you guys had me bookmark because he basically did that.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
I don't know. I haven't signed in a long, long time, but I also forgot to deactivate my account, so I still probably have access to that bookmark.
You should check in on that,
yeah.
On that poor man.
Yeah. So, there's precedent. It's not a good one. I think wait till you're ready to do the life commitment before...
Wait until somebody asks for that.
Right. But
Don't make somebody listen to it.
Do you think it would reduce the chances of divorce if you had to sit through your partner's father's entire life story before getting
would
the consent
reduce?
To marry?
Yeah.
It would reduce marriage...
Yeah.
It would weed out the weak marriages and leave the strong ones. So, yes, there would be fewer divorces as a result.
Yeah, strong or just patient?
Patient is strong.
Patience is a very important component
to finding
your life to someone for untold decades.
Decades.
If you can sit through that and then take a multiple choice test at the end to prove your comprehension.
Does have to pass a Scantron.
With, yeah, an 85% pass rate.
Then you earn marriage rights.
And the answers are A, B, C, D all the way down.
And there's one short essay.
One short essay.
Just to make sure you're paying attention.
And one just, long essay.
And not just circle in bubbles.
We gotta get that critical thinking component in there.
And there's some analogies. A couple math questions. A Sudoku crossword, just to make sure you're up for it. Like, you do have to pass this test.
And then there's a CAPTCHA, so that you're not a robot.
You gotta point out all the Polaroids with street signs in them.
You robot.
It's a good screener.
Is that it?
Sure. We got more, I guess, arguments to listen to in the future.
Great. And then more France after that.
Fairy law and order. Bum bum.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you. And all you people.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
John Waterbottle.
Thank you.
Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, fairies.
Thanks.
Thank
nah.
You.
No.
Thank you. Skipping fairies.
Nah. Thank you, Kokomo.
That looks nice, I guess. I just found out.
It's some good software.
Thank you, Genie Sheep.
Thank you, Genie Sheep. We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com www.patreon.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.